A lot of people throw up when they go up to space. They can't handle it. Some people, no problem whatsoever. A guy like Scott Kelly that spent a year up in space, on the space station, doesn't throw up at all. No problem. But other people, they have problems. This guy gone. They said, you know, this senator from Utah had nothing but problems. They actually started to use the same as a verb for people getting sick in space. That's how bad he was. He was sick from the minute he went up until the minute he came back. But anyway, Bill Nelson went up. Eventually he became senator of Florida. And then, like I said, last question is make it. But it looks like Joe Biden has picked him to be the new NASA administrator, which is interesting because when this Orion thing was being thought about back in 2010, 2011, 2012, he was really pushing for Orion, as a politician. I mean, he was, on the news every day, and, he was pushing. And, of course, that more or less went away for decades. It seems like, all these years they've been under development. But now it's finally, finally getting it, to the point where they can launch a mission to the moon. And here comes Bill Nelson. And if all goes well, he will be the NASA administrator when they finally get there with the space launch system. He pushed for when he was, younger many years ago. Any comments or questions? WS1.
One more from Hank. There's another senator, I believe his name is John Glenn. We've all heard that name previously, who went up on the space shuttle.
Oh, yeah, very good, Hank. Yeah. What, 1990? I'm going to guess 1997. Yeah, he went up, and he was like, 77 years old, I think they said. Give or take a year, in that time frame. Sure, and then, he retired from the Senate at that time. He wasn't a senator, so he retired. Fortunately, he's gone now. And then this last year, his wife, of all those many decades, she just died of COVID. But she was up there. She was like, they said 100 years old or something. But John Glenn was terrific. He went up, first guy in orbit, and then, let's not have him go up anymore. We don't want to take a chance of losing a hero, it is dangerous. We don't want to lose a hero in space. So he becomes a senator for all those decades and retires from that. Sure enough, they send him up again. I thought that was great. Back to you, Hank.
So it sounds like you have to become a senator to have a reasonable, presumably, chance of still flying NASA. We have Kate Garn and Bill Nelson and John Glenn.
NASA hasn't signed up any real actual civilians. You get these billionaires. There's been 9 flights to the space station from Russia. Billionaires have paid to go up for maybe a week at a time. One guy stayed for 10 days and then they return. NASA has not done that. Closest we got was with Krista McAuliffe as a teacher. She was trained pretty much as an astronaut, but she was still a civilian, nowhere near the training that everybody else had. So when we lost her, she had a backup. There could have been a chance she might have gotten sick. And every for everybody scheduled for a flight as backup. She had a backup too. Cool. Her name was Barbara Morgan. Barbara Morgan stayed active. In fact, she trained as an astronaut and became capable as an astronaut. Officially, you know, an astronaut, she goes to space. But she was, you know, she was an astronaut. She was doing all the training that all the other trainees were doing. She was a teacher. Sure enough, they sent her up like 20 years later she got to teach from space, completing Christa McCullough's dream of doing just that. Any other comments? WS2N. Okay, yeah, that's all I have for now. I can update everybody on the Perseverance helicopter, called the Ingenuity, that they plan on launching within probably a couple of weeks. We'll have time to talk about that. I mean, we're getting ready for it. They dropped off this big pan that was underneath the Ingenuity covering. Had a cover, it looks like an oil pan from a car, you know. They disconnected it, just lands on the surface, and then they drive away. Then there's another pan, they call it a belly pan, and that has nothing to do with the helicopter, but the belly pan is protecting this whole mechanism that's going to be used for the sample return mission from Mars. And that whole setup needed to be uncovered, and sure enough, they dropped that belly pan, they call it, onto the surface of Mars, and they drive away and leave them behind. And then now they have this airfield, they call it the airfield, and they're going to hope to eventually leave the helicopter behind, and it will rotate out of 90-degree holding position. Four legs will be open, and they'll cut it loose, and then they have 24 hours to move that vehicle. Once they cut it loose, batteries that will not be being charged. Right now they're being charged by the Perseverance rover that's using the RTG, the radioisotope thermal electric generator, to keep it charged. And once that they cut the cord and that thing's on the surface, they drop that last 2 or 3 inches, and then they have 24 hours to move that vehicle out of the way and make sure that Ingenuity, the little helicopter, gets sun. It's right on top of the sole from these two spinning blades. It's 4 foot counter spinning blades. One goes counterclockwise, the other one goes clockwise. On the very top, they have this little solar panel, and that's going to charge the battery. And they need that to make it through the night. You get ridiculously close, you know, the temperatures on, 130 degrees or something below zero. They have little electric heaters on this helicopter. The batteries supply that heat during the night, and then, of course, the next day they need enough power to do a flight. First flight they plan on probably lasting, 30 seconds to 45 seconds. So hopefully that goes well. We'll see that probably within a month. Any comments or questions, and then I'll come to a grinding halt. Let me drop it off. Okay. We'll turn it over to Roy. Tomorrow is Monday, so 8:30. On these repeaters, we'll have the club net, the club info net. That will be followed by Flopper Chop. What's that? News line after that. Back to you, Roy, AC2GS. This is WS2N. Happy Passover to everybody out there. And over to you, Roy.
AC2GS, thank you very much, Paul. Thank you for the space report. And thank you for all that you do for the technical net. I just want to add, I Googled the question about the peach on the moon, and the entry I got was, quote, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin ate the first meal on the moon during the Apollo 11 flight. after they landed at the Sea of Tranquility. The meal, in addition to canned peaches, also included bacon squares, sugar cookie cubes, coffee, and pineapple grapefruit drink.
Very good, Roy. Very good. You had another question regarding that. It was like a couple of years ago about wine and the Eucharist. Buzz Aldrin brought with him. He kind of kept that quiet.
Yeah, I mean, there's loads and loads and loads of interesting little stories if you can dig them up. Buzz Aldrin is an incredible guy. I don't know what to make of him to this day. I don't think he's taking the world seriously. I see a twinkle in his eye, and I think he doesn't take anything too seriously, but I could be completely wrong.
Comment?
He's living so long, he's calm. he's very calm. He's got a good attitude, and he really pushes for the space program. Back to you.
Yeah, I mean, the only time, unfortunately, I saw him completely lose his cool was when some lunatic told him that the landing on the moon was all fake. That really upset him. But other than that, you know, I've seen him visit the White House, and he always has this incredibly big grin on his face, like we're not in on the joke, but he certainly is.
Yeah, I agree. He's been around a long time, and no matter who's president, he's there. He's pushing for these guys. He really wants to go to Mars. He's a big Mars buff. Forget about the moon, go to Mars, you know. So I don't think he was too happy when he found out they were switching from the Mars to the moon this time. But, you know, depending on who's in office, that's what they do. Right now, I think we're still going back to the moon, but... Who knows? I think they've got to keep it that way for now, and then worry about Mars later.
Oh, well. Mars ain't going anywhere. It'll wait for us.
Oh, yeah. Then you got SpaceX. Before you know it, he'll be on Mars, and we'll still be trying to get those little tubes back from Mars. There's 43 of them that they're going to dig up. I think that out of the 43, I think they plan on sending about 38 of them back to Earth. You know, all I can picture is Elon Musk landing there and, you know, going around picking them up and bringing them back to us.
I don't know. I'm not as a big a booster for Elon Musk. I get the sense that some of the stuff he does is a grift. I don't know how much is for real and how much is a grift, but it seems to be equal portions, unfortunately.
Comments? Anyone right away?
I know. He's out there, but he's pouring a lot of money into this. This week we're going to watch another one go up, another Starship, and we'll see if this one lands vertically without blowing up. I heard Hank.
Speaking of grift, Elon Musk, have any of you guys seen the set of puppets of Elon Musk, the gentleman from Virgin, Richard Branson from Virgin Atlantic, and a puppet from the image of Jeff Bezos? And the whole concept was how an engineer, three billionaires, each ended up going to Mars because they thought they had to beat each other to do it, and the only reason Elon Musk got the idea to ever do it in the first place was because an engineer hit him over the head, spoke into his ear while he was asleep or unconscious to get him out of her hair.
Spitting image. I love spitting image.
It's a great spoof or a great skit, whatever it is. Absolutely hilarious.
Well, it's a series. They did spitting image back in the 80s, principally in English thing, because you can't tape their legislature. So they mocked up puppets and abused them to get around that rule, and it was very, very successful. They did it for years and years, and then, like all things, it faded away, and they brought it back this year. They did a English Parliament version, they did a White House version, and then they did a bunch of other characters, which included Elon Musk. And there's a great song that a guy called Thunderfoot, who does YouTube disparaging Elon Musk about being a con man. Spitting image. If you like sarcasm and puppets, check it out on YouTube. Spitting image.
Well, I have to agree, it's just that I really like the particular episode, I guess is what you'd call it, with the three billionaires on Mars and how they had a one-way trip. And I think there was some marijuana that made it there, too.
Yes, it was very well done and very entertaining. I found it endlessly amusing. Depending upon how much Elon smoked before he saw it, I assume it didn't bother him too much, but if it did, he would have tweeted something about it. AC2GS. My name is Roy, and this has been the first Passover edition this year of the Limar Technical Net. As always, I want to thank Paul, WS2N, for his SpaceNet report and all the other things he does. I want to thank everyone who participated tonight. As I've often said, technical nets especially are made or broken by the participation of the listener. Because you don't want to hear me go off on a monologue, God forbid. So thanks to everyone out there. Yeah, I hope you found it both informative and a bit entertaining. And I hope you'll come back and join me again next Sunday night at 8 p.m. Again, want to remind people that if you cannot reach me via radio, you can do it via email, and the email address is mailbag@ac2gs.com. Again, mailbag@ac2gs.com. Check out, please, the link page. All kind of interesting things, including Paul's image that he wanted to share with you all. You can get there by just typing into your browser, roy.ac2gs.com. And again, keep in mind that MyKC2NJI maintains an archive of technical nets going as far back as September 2006 at amateurradio.tv. And for people out there who need some kind of extra radio method of listening to the transmissions on W2VL, you can share my link. It's open almost 24/7. And just point your browser at technet.ac2gs.com. And as always, I want to end this technical net with some words of wisdom from one of the wisest men that I've known, Dick, K2RIW. He would often end the tech net by saying, be kind to each other. And that's good advice in general, but it's very good advice in these times. The virus is still among us. The infection rate in New York is unfortunately leveling off. I don't know why. I think possibly because people are kind of loosening their social distancing and such. Please, maintain your social distancing. Get vaccinated when you can. Be safe. Be smart about it. Be well. And come back next Sunday night and let us all do this over again. To my observant friends out there, a happy Passover, those who do Passover, and to the other group that do Easter, have a happy Easter. I wish you all well, and again, be safe, and we'll talk again, hopefully, next Sunday. This is...
combine the two. Copy, Passover. WB2BX.
Well, I don't want to confuse things, and each to their own.
By the way, Hank, the service module for the Orion is built by the European Space Agency. So, I mean, it's separated kind of like in two parts. You're still there.
I am, and I didn't know that. Thank you. And one YDY clear.
So what do you think? Are they going to blow up another starship tomorrow?
I bet you're right. I go by the odds. You know, you've got three in a row. You know, it's not too good. How you doing, Frank? How you doing, Frank?
I'm doing okay. I'm annoyed at myself. As soon as I click, oh, you know you can't change the chat handle. I realized it was wrong anyway. Don't sweat the small stuff, especially after the pandemic, right?
I agree. I hope it's after the pandemic. I had enough of this. So, yeah, very good. And I don't know how they do that, you know, if they're keeping up with everybody running around with masks. Yeah. And you're not going to win. It's still doing good here on the island. I mean, everywhere I go, they're still doing good. But like Roy said, the numbers picked up again. Today was 5% for Suffolk County. You know, we got as low as 3.5, about a month ago. And then now we're hovering around 4. So, I don't know. Everybody's running around with masks now. Everywhere you go. I don't see how that, why that's happening. Back to you, Frank.
Yeah, well, part of the problem may be the cluster of masks for Fusenix in South Jersey, you know, who just refused to do it because they insist it doesn't exist. But, and then, of course, you know, once people are back. They're not that worried anymore. So they probably counted those numbers, a higher infection rate also. Yeah, Philadelphia, we're kind of in, my wife and I seem to be in a donut hole of sorts in terms of eligibility. People who are under 65, but a so-called customer-facing jobs can get it. People who have certain underlying conditions can get it. But ordinary people who are retired, under 65, as far as I can figure it out, are still not eligible. So we're getting a bit of noise here, but you need to be XO.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, they don't have the supply here like I thought they were going to have by now. Yeah, it's coming in, but there's still a shortage. Every CVS you call, every state-run facility, they're all booked. And they keep lowering the numbers. They lower the numbers here to 50 years old and older. So, you know, they're all jumping on the bandwagon. You know, it's not easy. I'm still waiting. Yeah, I got an appointment, but it's like, it takes forever. Back to you, Frank.
Yeah, there's the mass vaccination sites are in some cases a little more than PR, since they have this huge capacity for the number of people they can run through the sites, but they just don't have enough vaccines to do it. So it doesn't really, as far as I could tell, it might not necessarily mean all that much.
There's supposed to be a large release of it, I think, this week. You know, I assume to the whole country, I don't know. But, that would help. And I heard on the radio this morning, the country did 3.5 million in one day on a Saturday. That was kind of surprising. I mean, that's like 1% of the population in one day. So if they keep going the way they're going, we're going to be swimming in this stuff in about a month from now. You'll probably, you know, maybe you'll be able to go in and take your choice, you know. I want Johnson & Johnson, or I want my, you know, Pfizer. You might have your choice. But WB2BXO, WS1.
Yeah, well, right now I want something. I mean, of course the Johnson & Johnson would be cool since that's a one-and-done deal. But, you know, the important thing is to get something, wait a few weeks, and at least, you know, not going to be... Apparently, by all accounts, you're not going to be seriously harmed, even if you do get it. But, you know, that's the important thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. From what I understand, I got these therapeutics, too. If you do wind up with it, they say you got to twist their arm and make sure you tell them I want it. It's supposed to be sitting on the shelf somewhere. Tell them I gotta have this. It's an infusion. Nobody, you know. It's a lot better than, you know, winding up on a ventilator. I'm gonna sign. Back to you, Frank. Long night here. Back to you. This is WS2X.
I always care that I don't think you're at the end of the net, but for some reason, there's some burst of, regular burst of noise that seems to key up the repeaters and block echo link, you know, when during the net. Anyway, 7-3. Yeah, my oldest brother got the infusion. And I called him and said, hey, he got the Trump treatment. And he said, don't say that. Everybody's saying that. So I knew he was feeling better. When I told him that, and he went off on me. So it's the WB2BX, bro.
Oh, God, I wouldn't want to hear that either. Very good, Frank. Have a good night, WS2N. We'll catch you next week.
Night, 7-3.
Okay, good night, everybody. This is MQNB. I've been eavesdropping. I lost most of the net because my grandson screwed up my computer and I only got it on about half an hour ago. See you next week. N2MB, Clemson, South Carolina.
N2MB, WS2N. Barry, I didn't know you moved until tonight. I know you visit down there. But, yeah. Okay. Have a good night. We'll catch you next week if you're on.
Okay, you will. I'll be here next week. I'll be here tomorrow, too, listening to the other day. Good night, everybody. N2MB, Clemson, South Carolina.
Well, I remember talking to you about alarm systems years ago. Went on and on. Dick was on. You were on. Wow. 73, have a good night.
Doing moon dogs from there, Barry?
Actually, I have every plan of doing it. I've only been here for, I don't know, 5 days or something. So I've been in South Carolina for a couple of months, but living with my son. Now we're in our own house. Very nice. It's very big and nice and everything. Can't complain. As far as moon bounce goes, I have every intention of doing it. I have the antennas packed away somewhere. I'm going to unpack them. They don't go up on a tower. They go on near the ground, so that I can do first. Animals are going to get on local repeaters and stuff around here. I, you know, it just takes time to do all that. Yes, I am. And yes, I will.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of ironic. You don't need a tower to do moon bounce. And I guess you still need a lot of games to do it the traditional way, but I know there are guys doing it with the JT mode with signal yaggies and stuff now.
Yeah, that's nonsense. I'm not going to do it that way because for a lot of reasons. I won't believe it. I mean, each to his own. I have no problem with that. I support them. I've heard it. There's no interest in it. So I'm going to do it the conventional way. There's still plenty of people on the conventional way, and that's what I want to do.
I still do conventional HF radio, DXing on Tri-Band and CW, albeit through remote sites the vast majority of the time now since I live in an apartment, but it's still some form of conventional radio, and I still feel like a dinosaur.
No, I agree with you. I think that's the way to do it. This is a hobby, not a business. So all these people that say you should do it this way, that way, you know, I do it the way I want. It's a hobby. I enjoy it, and I'm going to do the same thing you're going to do. I'm putting up HF antennas around here, slowly unpacking my equipment. I got a lot of it, you know that. And I'm going to set it up, and you'll hear me on HF. Probably on 80 meters working DX very soon. You might hear me on 80 meters working DX in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think it was disappointed with 80 meters DX this winter. I'm at, I think 85 or 86 confirmed on 80 meters now, and I thought I might finish the XCC on 80 this winter, but conditions just weren't that good, even though I'm using some really good remote sites, mostly one in Connecticut, but conditions were, you know, conditions are not really up on the higher frequencies yet. But they're down on 80 and 160. You know, anyway, yeah, no, 80 meters DX thing is fun. I enjoy it. You know, especially now that, you know, I can use a site that has an antenna for the band.
Yeah, I know. I've been listening. And actually, if you've got a humongous antenna or something, there is plenty of DX on 80 meters. Every day I hear it. Now that we're getting into the warmer weather, it's going to fizzle. That's a wintertime thing. But I've heard them working pretty good stuff on 75, just, you know, just below the You know, just, you know, be where the phone band, you know where the DX portion is on 74, I'm sure. Anyway, I've been listening to them. The big guns are doing it. It's been noisy here. A lot of lightning static. This area is famous for lightning. We had a lightning storm today, yesterday, the day before, you know. So all that lightning static makes it a little hard to hear things, but you can do it. You just have to be tenacious about it, that's all.
Yeah, we don't really need, you're right, the guys with humongous antennas on, in the DX window on 75, just like some of the guys with humongous antennas who sit in the DX window on 20 meters working the same stations over and over again, and not letting you guys use the worst stuff to be. Anyway, I think my best DX on 80 this winter, using a remote with 100 watts to a dipole up about 100 feet overlooking the water, was 845 XR, just around our gray line. And I think the radio at times, at the time, was loading up about 45 watts. The site switched from K3s to flex radios. I don't think the flex radios have tuners that are as good as the K3s do. I can see why for remote operation, they're probably more adaptable anyway. But that was my best catch on 70, on 80 meters this winter.
Okay, I have DXCC and WAS on 2 meters. I did it the hard way, of course. I worked them off the moon. And that's legal. That's real. We weren't fooling around. You know, it's hard to work WAS and DXCC on 2 meters. I did it off the moon. And it's real. I got the QSLs to prove it. I had a guy come into the shack one day. Well, that stuff is no good to me anymore because I moved. But, you know, I'm not going to do it again. I'm too old. But I had a guy come into the hand shack one time, looked at the cards, and he said, "Oh, you have WAS. How nice." And I said, "Yes, on 2 meters. And he looked at it and says, "Oh, I thought that was 14 megacycles."
That's funny. No, actually, your DXCC, you can still add to your total. I looked it up. DXCC is good as long as you're in the same country. Worked all states, you would, well, you have it already. I mean, there are only so many states until the Senate gets their act together and adds Puerto Rico and maybe D.C., but that's a whole other conversation. But anyway, now, for worked-off states, you have to be within 50 miles of the same location. For DXCC, I believe as of now, you can still be anywhere in the country.
Oh, I'm not. Okay. So that's still valid. Okay. It didn't matter. I'm not really a certificate hunter. I never have been. I just did it because it happened. You know, I look and say, "Oh, look, I have all those places. I guess I'll put in for the award," you know. So I didn't actually cry.
Working DXCC on 2 meters without really trying. I find that a little hard to believe, but I kind of understand where you're coming from. I know when I got back on the air, when after about 10 years, and reactivated my LOTW account, I said, "Well, let me look and see how much I have." And I found that I had over 200 confirmed and DXCC on, I think it was 3 or 4 bands. I'm like, "Wow, that's cool. I didn't realize I had so many confirmed in addition to the original VXCC I got when I was a kid.
Okay, I thought your computer broke again. Yeah, I missed most of the TechNet tonight because my grandson, bless his little heathen heart, screwed up my computer, and it took me hours to get it. Well, I didn't think I was going to get it working again. It was just a fluke that I got to, that I'm using this computer again. I've only got one computer right now. I gave the other one to my grandson. He's got it at home, not here, of course. So I'm left with this little tractor, which ain't very good. But I got it working tonight. Ah, I had fits with this thing. My wife said, maybe you should talk to your son. He knows how to fix computers. He does not. He's got a PhD, but nothing to do with computers. You know, he doesn't know anything about it. I know way more about them than he does. And I don't know much, you know. Anyway, by some miracle, I got it working again.
Yeah, technology is great when it works.
There you go, this thing is acting up. It's not me, it's the internet. Anyway, I could have... there is no way to take the batteries out. No way. I looked and looked and looked. There's no screw, no place to put your screwdriver and pop it open. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's totally sealed up. Also a cheap computer. It ran me $200, which ain't bad. You're hearing me on it. It sounds good, you know. But I couldn't. And finally, I think what I did was held the button, the off and on and off button. I held it down for about 3 minutes. And mercifully, it shut off. When I got it to come on again, it said, enter your password. I don't know my password. I haven't used that since I got the computer. I did not know what it was. I tried everything. Somehow, I must have put the right thing in because, bingo, it started to work. Ugh. It's no good getting old, let me tell you.
Yeah, passwords are the bane of all our existences. I remember when I worked in an employment program about 12 years ago, actually for a couple of years. I used to train people to look for jobs on the computer, and I helped them get Yahoo or Gmail passwords, etc. And the first thing almost every one of them did was forgot their passwords. Honestly, I I don't know how many passwords I'm constantly doing, forgot my passwords, so I'm not laughing that much at them anymore.
It was slowly, in the recesses of my dim brain, I knew that I have a password that I use all the time. It's only 4 letters. It wasn't long enough. I knew it wasn't going to be long enough. Somehow I remembered you got to enter it twice or something to make it longer. And that's kind of what I did. I mean, it was thoughtful of me. I said, if I make an 8-letter password, I'm never going to remember it. So I made N2MB twice. And I know that works. Because it worked. You know, what would a ham use for a password, right? Sometimes I used to use 6262, which is the same thing if you look it up on the, you know, with numbers on the alphabet. But there's a load of these. So I entered N2MB, N2MB. But sometimes I enter N2MB1. A lot of times, but I somehow knew I didn't do that this time. Somehow my dim brain remembered it from a long, it was like 3 years ago I had to do that to this stupid computer. with the password crap.
I don't want a password. I don't want one. I'm the only person that uses this computer, and I don't want one, but I can't get rid of it.
Yeah, Windows 10 does that to you. I have a Windows 10, a newer Windows 10 computer in my apartment in Brooklyn. That demanded a password to get on Windows 10. And I've only been to that apartment once in the last year. I have somebody taking care of it because I haven't wanted to travel during the pandemic. I am not going to remember the darn password for that computer.
Yeah, well, I look underneath the computer. Usually, I take a piece of tape and I put the password on it, you know. I don't care. By the way, this stupid thing is Windows 10. Oh, lucky me, right? I don't even want Windows, much less Windows 10. I want Linux. But they did something very clever. If you have Microsoft 10 on your computer, you can't put Linux on it. I got Linux to work on this computer, but it was so messed up, I took it off. Getting another computer, it's not going to be Microsoft, I'm happy to say. And I'm going to put Linux on it. I'm getting it. I should arrive today or tomorrow, any day now it should be arriving. I forget what it's called. My daughter taught me into it. That's good, by the way. My daughter is you know, she's not good at computers, but she's good with other stuff. And when she said it's good, I bought that brand of computer. I don't even remember what it's called. I don't remember. It's some weird type of computer, but I like it because it doesn't lie. You can do anything you want. You can have three operating systems on it, totally separated. That's my way of going.
Yeah, I don't know much about those either. Is it something that you bought the hardware with no operating system on it and you just set it up from scratch?
No, it comes with an operating system on it. Not Windows. It comes with an operating system on it, but you can choose as many as you like. I think you can have four or five different operating systems on it. It's just a matter of how big the hard, you know, not the hard drive, but they don't have a hard drive on it. Whatever you call it now, the memory, you know. This computer doesn't have a hard drive. It's flat, there's nothing there, works good.
Yeah, I bought a laptop about 10 years ago with what was then a new idea, solid-state drive, the so-called SSD drive instead of a hard drive. Heck of a lot faster than a mechanical hard drive. The problem was, it was like 100 gigabytes SSD or something like that, and I'm like, that's more than I'm ever going to need. No problem. Anyway, 2 years, it totally ran out of space. It wouldn't load Windows 10. Windows 7 would no longer work. And my only realistic option, since I'm not a techie, was just to get on Amazon and order another computer. Ridiculous. I mean, there's nothing physically wrong with this computer. It's just, you just can't replace the hard drive, at least not unless you're a techie. And, you know, there's just nothing it can do with the darn thing. Now the SSDs are much bigger. You know, and I get one with an SSD today, it'll be fine.
Yeah, well, this computer is very difficult to do anything to, but it does have a plug in the back, and he can plug additional memory into it. You know, even the, you know, the weird hard drive, I don't know what you call it anymore. Solid state drive, I don't know what it's called. But you could plug another one in. The only thing I don't like, tchotchkes hanging off the computer, so. And I didn't fill it up anyway. Now, the other thing is, my son is very good at this. You gotta take all the junk off the drive. You don't know it, but every time you turn that stupid thing on and off with Windows, it builds up more garbage on the drive. And I gotta tell you, my daughter-in-law, took that stuff off the computer, megabytes of junk, and she got it off. So I don't know how to do that, but next time my daughter comes around, I'll tell her to tell me what to do, and then I'll write it down, and I'll tell you what to do. When you clean that stuff off the computer, you don't know, it'll work faster, it'll have tons more memory than it ever had, because you were loading it up with stuff you don't even know what it is. You know, that's what you got to do. That's a Windows problem. If you're using Linux, that's one of the other operating systems, it doesn't do that.
NY2H.
Yeah, NY2H, recognized. Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not a Linux person. All right, well, a month or two. Hopefully, once I finally do get a vaccine and feel comfortable traveling again, I'll get back to Brooklyn. And maybe when I'm there, I'll get in touch with you and see if we can get your daughter on the horn or do a screen share or something and get that computer fixed so I can use it again. That would be cool. Maybe I may haul it back to the place here in Philadelphia. It'd be a lot easier since I don't stay in Brooklyn all that much even when I can go. I may well take you up on that invite if it's really feasible to do, because I'm sure she's like really, really busy. Anyway, let me pass it over to NY2H, and then I'm going to get going. It's almost midnight now. WB2BX.
Okay, just want to ask you real quick. Are you on radio, or are you going in like I am on the computer?
I am going in through Echo Link using my iPhone.
Yeah, same as me. NY2H, N2MB. Go ahead, sir.
All right, gentlemen. Yeah, you're both really on a phone and a computer, but you're kicking up three repeaters. You could actually go direct on Echolink if you wanted to. But in any case, I want to ask you to stand down for about a minute because I have to disconnect the Plainview machine. I have to unlink it, and I can't do it while you're chattering. So just stand by about a minute. Thank you.
Okay, Roger.
All righty, all done. We're on linked, okay. So you can continue, but just so you know, nobody's going in through RF right now. Your computer, it's a computer. So if you wanted to, you could go direct node on Echolink also and not tie up the machine, but because of the hour, it probably doesn't matter. And I think BXO says he's going to hit the hay anyway. And congratulations, Barry, on your new home down there. Very good. See you guys later. NY2H clear.
Okay, have a great night. Thanks a lot. And I guess I'll see you tomorrow because there's a net tomorrow, too. Okay, I'm going to stand by. I guess you're going to sign. And I'm going to have to sign. This is talking to myself. Over to you, N2ND. KWB2BXO and 2MB, standing by, please.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to clear anyway, 7 and 3. Yeah, I don't want to tie up the repeater anyway. It's going to go anyway. It's kind of late. Barry, it's really good to talk to you again. And, you know, if it really is feasible for your daughter to help me out with the other computer at some point, see what we can do. 73WB2BXO is clear. Thanks for calling, Mark.
Okay, there's nobody going to use it anymore tonight anyway. But that's cool. I'll see you tomorrow. Maybe I'll get my daughter to give me a hand tomorrow and talk you through it. See you later. WB2BXO, this was N2MB, signing clear.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Time is 12:04 a.m. 73 and good night from the W2VL repeater. The time is 12:04 a.m. 73 and good night from the W2VL repeater.